Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome
to the Creep Dive main episode.
Hive.
Hot.
One no. Main episode. Main you're right. Episode. You're right.
It's a pleasure to be here. How Love are it. You, gals?
I'm great.
Well, wow. Do you know who?
But that's a lie. I'm menstruating, so not great. Not tip top.
Guys.
My uterus is trying to exit my body yours? Through a too small hole.
Can we assist you somehow? I've got my
Do you
candy.
Have a speculum?
Speculum in my
backpack.
I've got
the pocket
spec. I am just sitting here with the journal reporting here, a US cancer patient developing an uncontrollable Irish accent despite having never visited Ireland.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's in the US and so he was being treated for cancer and developed this Irish brogue despite obviously never being here. In his 50s, diagnosed with prostate cancer and in treatment. But do you remember we covered a couple of these cases a while ago? Cass, you were out and me and Sophie recorded this in my closet.
Yes.
And do you remember the woman? It was 2010, the Guardian reported this. And her name was Sarah Caldwell and she was from the UK. And she had a native West Country accent. And suddenly one day it was replaced by a Chinese accent.
Oh, this is very familiar.
Oh, God, yes.
So that happened about 7 years after she'd had a stroke. And then in 2006, this other woman from the UK, Linda Walker, desperate, suffered a stroke and discovered her Geordie accent had been replaced by Jamaican.
Oh, no.
It's
Why
just
is it always the brain. Extra problematic?
The brain is a very, very odd thing altogether.
Because I definitely think... during that telling that with the Chinese accent.
We did a Chinese accent.
We did not.
No, but we didn't.
I spent the whole time terrified you were about to.
So oh, here we so are. Bad. Cass, you have a meaty number for us.
Yeah, I do. I'll probably just get right into it because there's quite a lot in this.
All right.
This story came to me through the Atavist magazine, which is one of the best publications on the internet for long reads. Like one long read comes out maybe every 2 months or so, but it's absolutely brilliant. And this is kind of the dark side of tween performers.
Ooh.
And tween YouTubers. So I'm going to tell you the story, the history of a girl called Piper Rockell. Ooh. Who I had no idea. I had never heard of her before this, but I am in the minority because this American girl has millions upon millions of followers. So she was born in August 2007. right? She's a young and she's only 15 now. Would that make 15?
Yeah.
She's American. Her net worth is in the millions. On TikTok, she has 11 million followers. She's about 5.5 million followers on Instagram, but on YouTube, she has over 10 million subscribers.
How long has she been doing this? She's only 15.
So she's been doing it a couple of years, but like, yeah, she's one of these incredibly popular, incredibly well-known tween content creators.
Wow.
So she creates these like twee YouTube videos with titles. I'm just going to go to her YouTube page here. So like her latest, you know, those kind of like oddly twee videos, you're like, who is watching these? She's 10.6 million YouTube subscribers,
like,
right?
Jojo Swally sort of carry on?
Yeah, kind of, but like Jojo Siwa is Swally is she's like, she's a bit older now, isn't she? Like, she's in her 20s.
Yeah.
She's come out. She's got that gay following. Like, she's at least, I can see where she would have young ish followers, but not like, this is kids content essentially. Oh. Like, well,
it's
like,
kind of almost like slightly skit, like,
yeah, it's
like, here's
that
one. I turned my house into a hotel,
and yeah,
she has a little pug dog, is going to be the bellboy,
and yeah,
he's wearing a little outfit.
Things
sort of
like
lo-fi.
I celebrated 24 holidays in 24 hours. Like, we're looking at, like, it looks like What's the Story in Ballymore. All of the YouTube thumbnails are really bright garish colors, and there's all these ideas of like my boyfriend and I doing this, really,
she's sort of girl next door vibes,
dating
as well.
In only one color.
They're, yeah,
pink. Turning my house into three fast food restaurants, and my kids eat this shit up. They, yeah, love it.
And mine.
Yeah, kids seem to enjoy it. It's like vlogging style content that is obviously heavily scripted and, yeah, you know, curated.
She's going on tour this year.
She's going on tour. So she's one of these, Piper's one of these content creators who creates content with a squad. And what I've come to learn that realizes is that there are multiple YouTubers all connected kind of within the same multiverse that will create content together in different YouTube videos, cross-pollinate each other's channels, and just become very well known as being friends and being friendly and, you know,
yeah,
the gang. Like S Club 7, but
like
for Gen
Zoella
Z.
And yeah, that crew. Now they're old. Now they're decorating baby nurseries.
That kind of strange,
you know, that
stuff.
English crew.
Yeah.
And she had the insufferable boyfriend who's now her insufferable partner. And father of her child.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel
an abomination.
They're so all mean. I was just so mean about people who are still basically children. Oh no.
Well, they're all
very young.
They are all insufferable, right? But I'm going to tell you, this story is going to be a little bit about the squad. So, I mean, first off, massive props to journalist Niall Capello, who did this incredible long read on Atavist about not necessarily just about Piper, but about teen YouTube channels and the history behind them and then what has transpired here. So I'm going to tell you specifically about one of the squad members whose name is Jensen Ramirez. So Jensen himself has a YouTube channel, and he has, let me see here to update you, 2.36 million subscribers, similar content, destroying my sister's wedding dress, flying 1,000 miles to kiss my girlfriend, surprising my girlfriend with an extreme holiday makeover. Mm. Like, there's a lot of weirdly scripted content here, a lot of like shocked faces in thumbnails, and just like these are like, yeah, just tweeny looking things. I mean, fair play to them. So Jensen Ramirez has a sister called Liana. His mother, Jonah is her name. Jonah? It's like J-O-H-N-A.
Johanna?
Jonah. So very, very normal family, right? But his sister, so Jensen's sister Liana, was the first one in the family. She's 8 years older than him, and she was Growing up, interested in performing arts. Usual, went to dance classes, recreational. Loved being on the stage. And Jonah, the mother, was really proud to watch her toddler blossom into this young, talented kind of performer. They were living in Austin, but Liana dreamed about being on the Disney Channel, making it big in Hollywood. And it didn't seem like that impossible for her because she seemed to be really, really talented. So she started getting in the kind of auditioning scene and started to audition for things in Hollywood, things like ads, you know, whatever was going on, stage performances. And in September 2011, the family decided to make their way to LA for Liana's first Hollywood audition. It was for the role of a dancer in the stage musical of A Snow White Christmas.
And was she still very young, 8 or 9?
She is young. I think she's probably 13.
Anyway.
13, okay. Right? But definitely a young child who needs the supervision of her parents, needs her parents' permission to engage in any of this kind of work or whatever. So they go off to Hollywood to do the audition, and the cast included Neil Patrick Harris,
who was on
He was on How I Met Your Mother at the time, and then Lindsay Pierce of the Glee Project.
Wank bank.
So they go off, right? Go off to the audition. She's practicing the dance routines, yada, yada, yada. She does a dance routine to Michael Jackson's Thriller, and it goes really well, right? So they announce on Facebook that she nailed it and got the role of a dancer. So back in Texas, the newspapers are writing a piece about Liana. She's definitely like their local star. So Jonah's husband, Nelson, was the kid's father, obviously, and they decided that he would stay in Texas where he had just recently started a business, and Jonah would take on the role of driving Liana, who's 13, and then 5-year-old Jensen to California for the production. So her mother, Martha, would go and help with the childcare and managing whatever. So they were kind of going back and forth for a really long time while she was doing the production. But it became clear very early on that there was a place in LA for Liana, that she was doing well, and that maybe the family should relocate there. So within a couple of months, it was decided that Jonah would go and live with the kids in LA, and that Nelson would stay in Texas, and they would kind of do this sort of
long distance family
thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they would make it work where possible, but they were going to really invest in Liana's career here. And it was going well, right? Now, Jensen has this little curly-haired, freckly, gorgeous little 5-year-old. So when they're going to all these auditions for Liana, it's that classic thing where casting agents are looking at Jensen and they're like, that child needs to be in commercials. Like, he has something. He's like really gregarious. Like, he's out there. He's really chatty. He's really, really cute. And you should get him involved in casting. So
is he about to steal some thunder?
Well, not necessarily, right? So like, Liana's going down the traditional route of like auditioning for films, TV shows, and she's getting small parts and it's going grand for her. Like, it's fair enough. Whereas Jensen is initially interested in the commercials, stuff like that. And very soon he starts building out his own career. He was in like short films, a Lifetime movie called The Babysitter's Black Book, which sounds dark, but don't know what that's about. So that's all well and good for a couple of years. But as Jensen starts to grow up and he approaches his teenage years, so when he's coming to the age of like 9, 10, 11, YouTube is really starting to blow up. And he's throwing around the idea of getting into YouTube, and he's asking for permission to kind of get on the internet and whatever. A child actor's presence on social media was increasingly something of importance to casting agents and directors. But Jonah, whose experience with social media was limited, wasn't convinced. And she was like, I just don't even know what you'd post or what you'd create or what you'd make up there. Right? So it's about 8 years into the family living in Hollywood when the Ramirez's see an ad for a casting call, right? The breakdown was, which would usually just, you know, include a description of the project, the parts to be cast, and the pay rate, along with information about how to audition. So the one that they saw was for something called the Piper Raquel Show, which was planning to shoot a YouTube video on Venice Beach. It was described as taking inspiration from the movie Grease. The shoot would involve a tween character named Chase brushing off Piper, the show's star, to look cool in front of his friends. So Chase seemed like a good fit for Jensen. And the listing was offering a pay of $1,500 for 8 hours work, which was a very good rate for something like a YouTube video or whatever. At the time, the Ramirez's weren't familiar with Piper. But they did an internet search and they came across a YouTube channel boasting hundreds of hours of video content, including original songs, makeup tutorials, stage pranks, and challenges like 24 hours handcuffed to my boyfriend.
And it's all like innocent stuff, yeah?
It's all pretty innocent stuff, right?
There's always a feeling of weirdness about it.
Definitely.
Because they're leveraging, a lot of the time they know the view, where the views are coming from, if it's not the children.
Yeah.
It's, well, the men.
You can't control who's watching those videos. And
yeah, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's something, it seems like there's something weird, generally is,
and
right?
And also, like, even if it isn't as outsized as pedophiles are watching, like, the parents are, they are now parenting with a monetary agenda.
Exactly.
Like, it is undeniably murky territory.
Massively.
And, yeah, like, there's no, there, you know, like, there's no bloody, you know, labor laws like they would have in on TV sets or film sets. Like, this
so
is
it's just kind of lawless money. And once the money starts flowing, it would be very difficult to pull the plug. And also then the tail's sort of wagging the dog. So you're like, oh, yeah, shit, my kid now is refusing to work today.
Yeah.
And that's going to cost me.
And now we've moved into this ridiculous house to feature on their YouTube channel. And the mortgage is chaotic, dependent on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I mean,
there is a lot of that stuff.
In every which direction this thing is fucked up.
Yeah. Smelly. I think if your child starts to make it really, really big in any career and then the family's income, because the parents, like, even with the case of Liana and Jensen, like, Jonah really was looking after them. Like, she was one of those parents who wasn't like the pushy stage mom. She was allowing them to pursue their dreams, but like making sure that they were still getting an education, being homeschooled, and also very naturally, like, was negotiating things so that they would be working an appropriate amount of hours and not being taken advantage of. Yeah. And she said no to a lot of things for them as well if it didn't feel right. So they go off to, so Jensen's looking at her on YouTube and is like, look, she's got loads of subscribers, more than 2 million at the time. So Jonah didn't have a problem with Jensen participating in this social media content. And she felt like it was actually better for him to do, if this is something that he was interested in, like he wanted to get involved in YouTube, it was something better for him to do it on someone else's channel than have the pressure of trying to create his own and to be able to, like, give it a go. So they replied to the ad and were asked to come for an audition. On the day of the audition, they actually had another appointment in town and were running really late. They called the casting director, the voice coach, and they were like, it's grand. They really, really like Jensen, so just come along. So off they go, and he gets the part anyway, and he's in this video. So as the years go on, then he's kind of in the video and he becomes a part of the squad where he starts making videos regularly, right? Piper's popularity starts to explode on the internet. She goes quickly from like 2 million subscribers to gaining more and more and more and more, right? She's managed by her mother, Tiffany. And Tiffany Smith is probably she's where all the darkness is coming from. Like, she is just
problematic.
Like, not even in the way that you'd expect. Like, if you've read or listened to Jeanette McCurdy's book, you've got that typical mom who was almost like wanted to be successful by association and was like just plying her with putting pressure on her so that she would be successful, so she would look successful. Tiffany is in a completely different league. Tiffany is like a really fucking corrupt woman, and so much so that she is currently being sued by 11 former members of the squad.
Holy sh! For money.
For money, right?
Because these people appeared in Piper's video. So it was Piper's account. So
Piper is the epicenter of this squad, right? And the proximity to Piper is leading to a lot of success for the other squad members. So the squad members may go and create their own channels, but like Piper is the star. Piper is where it all is, and nothing can be made on their channels or within the squad universe without Tiffany's consent and Tiffany's knowing, because Piper's the star, but Tiffany's the puppeteer.
She's the finale.
She's the master of this absolutely huge universe.
What do you call the mom in Kardashians?
She's the Kris Jenner of these YouTube teens, right?
I mean, all of that stuff, like the Kardashian stuff, seems quaint compared to this. With this stuff.
At least she was only fucking with her own kids.
Yeah.
Seems to be messing with so, all the children, not in a sex way, more exploiting their fun.
Not necessarily in. Yeah, not. But look, it's not just
necessarily. Tell us more.
So, Piper, let me see. Let's go back to Piper, her kind of where she comes from. So she was just a kid in Georgia with big bows and big dreams. Her hometown was Canton in the Blue Ridge Mountains, just outside of Atlanta. So she was, according to videos posted on her YouTube channel, Tiffany Smith met Piper's father when they worked at a local veterinary clinic together. The relationship fell apart when Tiffany was in her mid-20s, learned that she was pregnant, and Piper's father, who had never been identified publicly, pressured her to get an abortion. Tiffany decided to keep the baby and went on to raise Piper as a single mother. It was just the two of them and a collection of rescue cats. So, Piper,
why is that just such a kind of creepy image? The collection of rescue cats.
I know. Tiffany started putting Piper into pageants at a young age.
Oh, brilliant.
She had headshots, fake tans, the jewel dresses, the flipper denture things. And she was like toddlers in tiaras, right?
Oh, all right.
And she was a young star. She was adorable. She was sassy. She twirled. She winked at the judges. She blew kisses at the audience. She collected crowns, sashes, and titles. And she made a name for herself in the competitions. So Tiffany became convinced that Piper was destined for massive things. And in the year, in 2016, when Piper turned 9, they started the social media channels.
My oldest, and he's asking for a YouTube channel, and I'm just like,
you can't deal with those comments, pal.
No, it's so,
I can't sell your childhood in any more ways than I already am.
Not with you directly, not where I'd have to do a rev share. So they get her onto social media when she's 9.
Oh my God.
And she becomes active on musical.ly, Musical.ly, a lip syncing audio app that 2 years later, I don't know if you know this, was sold to TikTok. That was sold to the Chinese version of TikTok and then reemerged as TikTok in the US. So she also started creating YouTube content, posting her first clip in November 2016. In that video, she makes slime. Very simple, low production values. Entirely, the whole thing is relying on her personality and charisma. That video goes on to get 4.5 million views, which is insane. God. Insanity. Like,
making slime.
Yeah. So it's one of those things is just, like, it must have just blown up for whatever reason. I think she had was building up a bit of a platform on Musical.ly, and it starts to, her popularity just starts to explode on the internet. So she continues making YouTube content and attracting more and more followers. The Piper and Tiffany then start making trips to LA, where they are filming videos with fellow kidfluencers. And they're, you know, starting to fall in love with Hollywood and et cetera. She becomes the fastest growing user on Musical.ly, and she's the one of the first to reach 750,000 followers, where she's just posting videos of herself performing comedy skits, etc. So from her social media, she's then cast in a reality show called Dance Twins, produced and created by the creator of Dance Moms, which was like a, which is like a huge TV show, wildly popular Lifetime program. The show only lasted one season, but it was one of the things that I suppose skyrocketed Piper's fame, really. So within episode 9 of that TV show, Piper, who's 10, is preparing to perform at a minor league baseball game with a team of backup dancers and in matching jerseys. And she's, you know, she's just very quickly emerging as a star, right?
She is into it. You can sort of see she's a precocious kind of little performy type kid.
Yeah, one of those extroverted kind of things.
The mother must know, like, this is fucking fodder for nefarious. Yeah. Like, this is like.
But if you're a nefarious person,
I know,
you know,
I know. But even how some dare of the shots, Cassie?
What are you implying?
Like, it's the mother's obviously responsibility, but this is totally outrageously grim.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the making slime vids from 5 years ago. The comments are turned off.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
I think they would. Yeah, they have to.
They have to turn them off because of the comments that were being left.
Well, I imagine, like, as things start to get a little bit darker for them, it they are probably getting a little bit more cautious with what people are saying and what. Who's commenting on the early ones, I suppose, is they want to make it seem like it's all above board and the audience are just, I mean, and the large part of the audience is obviously just kids. Yeah.
But also be people critiquing the parents' choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
So on that show, Piper becomes friends with 10-year-old Corrine Joy, who's another competitive dancer. And they're friendly, right? But Corrine's mother, Stevie, says that she just found Tiffany to be like a walking red flag. She had a tendency to overshare, and one of the first stories that Tiffany told Stevie unprompted was that her boyfriend at the time is a registered sex offender.
Piper's stepfather
is a registered sex offender.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but Tiffany says that it was a consensual encounter with someone who was just a minor.
Oh yeah,
we've heard it before.
Someone who was just a minor, aka a child.
Consent.
But I think her defense is that her boyfriend. So she was going out with this guy who I'll get to in a little while. His name's can't remember his name is, but we'll get to him. He is like 10 years younger than Tiffany, and so he's only about 20 when all this is happening, and. He says that, you know, it was a consensual relationship with someone who was under the age of consent. So he would have been one of those classic, like, he's 20 and she might have been 16 or 15 or whatever it is. Not to justify it, but
so
like,
creepy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because when
horrendous.
We think back, like, there's always someone we knew who had a boyfriend who was like
20.
19, 20.
Yeah.
And it's like, at the time when you're 15, you're like, oh, yeah. Grand, cool, and then you're like,
what
you're
a cool
20,
guy.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hindsight. So Tiffany's going out with a sex offender, right? According to Stevie, then, Piper starts receiving gifts in the mail from a fan Tiffany called Megan, implying that she implied that the fan Megan was around the same age as her daughter. But Tiffany eventually admitted that Megan was actually an adult man. And when she offered to introduce Stevie to him so that Corrine could start getting gifts as well, Stevie obviously was like, no, thank you. That is fucking weird. So Tiffany and Piper moved to LA full time in 2017, renting an apartment in Hollywood. And they throw themselves into auditions and collaborations set up by Piper's then agent, Matt Duggan. At the time, Duggan was working with a load of young social media influencers trying to break into film, TV and the music industry, including a guy called Reagan Finglas. Remember that name because he'll come up again later. He was another popular creator on Musical.ly, and he was working with a number of kind of young people who you might know. Kirsten Hancher, she's one of the top earners on OnlyFans now, and Daniel Cohen, who was another person who was really big on Musical.ly. So Tiffany's boyfriend moves in with them in LA, and according to Stevie, who's Corrine's mother, Corrine and Stevie were going to go visit Tiffany and Piper in LA, but the night before they were to go and stay with them, Tiffany says they can't stay in their apartment anymore because Tiffany's boyfriend, Hunter Hill, is staying in the apartment. This is a registered sex offender, so obviously he's not allowed near children. I don't understand how he's allowed near Piper, but he is. He's staying with them. So Tiffany's boyfriend, Hunter Hill, he's known online as H2 Bala. He, originally from Wyoming, is a huge content creator himself. He had a big following on Musical.ly, and he moved on to YouTube, and he also became one of Duggan's clients. He was 20, more than 10 years younger than Tiffany. Hunter and Piper sometimes made content together, you know, numerous videos and posts where they claim to be brother and sister.
God, I've just logged on to Hunter's YouTube, and his last post is titled "Flirting with Piper's Mom." *kiss* emoji. Like, it is fucking grim.
Yeah. So nobody likes Hunter. Anyway, the Duggan's talent management company, Talent Agency, starts an online network producing short form content for kids in the summer of 2017. It's called Brat. And sorry, they didn't start Brat, but Brat used the roster of his talent to cast their shows. So Piper was cast as a lead in a show called Manny, in which she portrayed a young sidekick to an eccentric male nanny. The first season aired on Brat's YouTube channel, receiving between 5 and 17 million views per episode. And this is what propels Piper into, like, international stardom. So she's growing and growing and growing. It's then in November 2018 when she decides to start making she's making more and more YouTube videos on her own, and she enlists Corrine in her YouTube videos, and that is the beginning of the squad. Mm. So 2018, the first iteration of what now would become the squad. So it was kind of like a self-styled Mickey Mouse club. And she invites other friends and collaborators into this squad. So you've got Sophie Fergie, who was also on that show, Manny. A boy named Sawyer Sherbino. Sawyer's teenage sisters, Saxon and Brighton. These names.
The names.
Are just.
The names. Reagan Finglas. I am still. You were like, remember that name. On. And I was like, no problems in remembering that name.
Yeah. They start making loads of different, they all have their own channels and they start making their own things together. They're connected in some way to Jake Paul young, you know, which we know he's been like completely problematic or whatever. So Piper is filming and she starts filming with Sawyer Sherbino's friend, Gavin Magnus, who is a kid with gelled hair, pop star aspirations. They had met at the 13th birthday party of somebody else, a singer and content creator linked with Annie LeBlanc, who was one of the most famous tween YouTubers at the time.
I love it. At a 13-year-old's party, they're all networking.
Yeah. So like they're all connected, these things. So they're all learning from each other, appearing in each other's videos, and then going out and creating all their content, right? So that's kind of the history of the squad, Gavin Magnus does become very, very famous. And Piper is a cast in one of his videos. Both kids are 11 at the time. The video, which went live on Valentine's Day 2019, shows Piper as the object of Gavin's affection, accepting a bouquet of heart-shaped balloons and posing for selfies with him. That video went on to get 33 million views.
What?
They kept making content together, and not before long, Pavin is born. So
this kid, Gavin Magnus, is Justin Bieber, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
He's a young, cute kid.
And like, this is the thing. They're all still kids. They're all still like 14, 15, 16 years of age, you know. They're all still very, very young.
And Pavin is their communal couple in portmanteau, is it?
Yes. So they cop on very quickly that this idea of ships and relationships is really popular on the channels, yeah, that like people really buy into them. The kissing, the my boyfriend, the like catfishing videos, this kind of stuff.
In the hot tub. Do you know what I mean? They're two kids in a hot tub. Oh.
And this is where it's really, really fucking murky, right? Especially because you're talking about 11-year-olds at this stage when Pavin is born. But they start calling, they go from calling each other's crushes to declaring themselves boyfriend and girlfriend. And it starts off pretty innocent, but then they make, you know, weird prank videos. Gavin ignoring Piper for 24 hours to see how she reacts. Piper pretending she lost her memory and couldn't remember who Gavin was. And a lot of the videos required explanations for the younger fans. So they're sort of teetering into kind of weirder stuff. Like in 2019, a video titled "Catfishing My Girlfriend to See If She Cheats." Gavin is explaining that to accomplish his goals, he'll need a cat and a fish. And then a male voice behind the camera says, "I don't think that's how catfishing works." But like, weird to introduce these concepts to like really young people. So Pavin's popularity was still rising. But then in July 2019, Gavin shocked fans with a video titled "My Breakup, The Truth, It's Over." In the video,
oh my God.
Yeah. In the video, Gavin's friend Connor is told to read aloud a text that Gavin claims to have sent a group chat with Piper and Sophie, saying, "I'm sorry it's ending like this. I can't take the anxiety, stress, and overall complication of this." Connor reads the screenshot of, as he reads the screenshot of the text is on the video. "There's going to be times where I will see pictures of us all and remember when we were having fun, not being so controlled, not being just investments." Mm. So that's one of the first major red flags, right?
Who's written that? Sorry.
So Gavin has written that and texted to Piper and Sophie, members of the squad.
And Dave, whose video is it on?
Gavin's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh so
God, I am on a live stream with Gavin right now.
Like, there's just
you and 40 men in their 70s.
Why great. We aren't friends anymore?
With who?
"What's up, fam? It's Gavin Magnus. Today I'm asking my ex-girlfriend to be my Valentine and she said yes. This is so unexpected, so make sure you stay tuned to see her reaction when I asked her." And it's hashtag Piper Raquel, hashtag truth, hashtag reveal, and like, oh, there's the usual like comments scrolling on the side of the live.
Oh my god. So
what the fuck?
This is the beginning of the end for the squad.
Not even close. So there's a lot of things. So he starts saying there's a lot of things that went down, a lot of things that were inappropriate. "I was removed from a toxic environment." So he said, "Please don't send any hate to either one of us. There's already enough going on Instagram and the legal side." So he's doing that influencer. I can't talk about it, but I will allude to all this kind of stuff. So he doesn't give specifics. He's not his usual self. He's kind of, you know, whatever. But he does still promote his merch.
Gotcha.
And has a blooper gag reel at the end of it, right? So, back to Jonah, Jensen's mother. She's not familiar with all this like kidfluencer gossip that's going on. And she isn't like, you know, keeping on top of what all this drama or whatever is going on. So a week after he initially shoots the Venice Beach video, she gets an email letting her know that Jensen is invited to be in a different video, for which he'll be paid just $125, not the $1,500 that he was paid for the first one. So when she was asking for clarification about the rates and all that kind of stuff, she received a call from Tiffany Smith, Piper's mother. So they said they wanted Jensen to be in a video with a trio of boys that would rate outfits worn by their daughters. In Jonah's telling Tiffany,
what?
Yeah. So they are assuring her that it's innocent tween content.
Rate the outfit.
Yeah. So this is kind of like where he's becoming more part of the squad. Like, so
even the kids, everybody knows at this point what they're actually selling. Even the kids would be some, like, they're getting DMs.
But they're so young.
They're so young.
The kids aren't necessarily, the kids aren't necessarily managing their own social media channels.
I see.
You know, like the parents are probably, I don't know if they are or not, but like,
edit on these videos.
Yeah, it's not the kids sitting down. And who's holding the camera, like, do you know? And who's typing out the titles on YouTube? So, €125 was far lower than what Jonah had set for Jensen's work. And she wanted to make sure that if he was working, that it was work that was professional and worth his while. But Jensen was like, really wanted to do it. So Jana was making an exception. So this time they turn up and it's like, rather than being like a set or like a professional production, it's an apartment complex in the heart of Hollywood. They are like, they become accustomed to working in studios, so they're a bit surprised by this. But there was just a common area. Another tween creator was sitting there, Lev Cameron, a blonde dancer from France who had previously appeared on So You Think You Can Dance. Lev was 13, slightly older than Jensen. The boys waited together to be called for the shoot, which was happening upstairs in the apartment where Piper lived with her mom and Hunter. So this was one of the first times I think Jonah's meeting Tiffany, and Jonah got the impression that Tiffany expected her to wait downstairs while Jensen was filming, but when she moved to accompany her son, Tiffany was resistant. So Tiffany says the kids do better when the parents aren't around.
Oh God!
But Jonah was like, absolutely not. She'd always relied extensively on the legal protections around child stars in California, and was like, if they're on set, you know, the parents, yeah, are allowed to be there or whatever.
Well, Tiffany's used to running her own show.
That's it. But like,
Jonah's like, I'm coming from actual professional
mainstream
shoots.
Yeah,
exactly. And she's like, no, it's really important that we have protections here, proper meal breaks, tutors, financial planning resources for child actors and their families, and that, you know, they're only working the appropriate hours. They're also minors and not supposed to be alone with adult cast or crew members without guardians. So Jonah insisted that she go upstairs, and once up there, she was just hanging back, staying inside the apartment while Jensen filmed with the other kids in the hallway. She didn't, like, she was kind of in this difficult situation because the other parents are very much like live and let live, and they allow their kids to do whatever, thinking, assuming that it's all for the best or whatever. Jonah has a really kind of bad instinctive feeling about this crew and whatever else. She's trying to make that balance between like keeping her son, her, you know, 12-year-old son happy, not embarrassing him in front of the other kids, and allowing him that community. And I think one of the big parts of this story and why it unfolded the way it did is that because Jensen had been kind of on the road and been supporting Liana's career for so long, he was homeschooled and he didn't have very many friends or that sense of community. So when he did start to make it in this squad, Jonah was like, oh, she felt a little apprehensive, but then was like, he needs friends and he needs support and he needs community and he really enjoys this. So like, kind of, am I just being
overcautious?
Yeah, essentially. So Tiffany and Hunter handle all the technical aspects of the shoot. Piper and Sophie put on various outfits, and the boys have whiteboards and they're playing fashion police. So the girls are wearing clothes bearing their midriffs, catwalking down for the boys for each round of judging. The video would receive more than 7 million views and was posted on Sophie's personal YouTube channel under the title My Crush reacts to my Fashion Nova outfits. So Fashion Nova was the retail company that the clothes for the clothes they were promoting. The video doesn't specify which of the boys was Sophie's crush, but soon it becomes apparent that Jensen is the boy to film to fill this role. He's 12. So Jensen, obviously,
he's 12, right?
Not alive. So Tiffany approached her. So Jonah didn't know much about this kind of what these ships and whatever these crushes and stuff entailed and what they meant, right? But Tiffany approached her not long after the shoot and was like, we need to form a ship between Jensen and Sophie.
A ship relationship. A ship.
Yeah. So Jophie was created.
Fake though.
Yeah, it's for the potential. It's for the cameras, right? Piper is the then in a ship
between 12-year-olds organized by a mother. Ugh.
Yeah.
I have the video up.
How is she looking? What's the...
They're looking like children wearing tank tops. Yes. And yeah, it's sad.
True children.
It's weird, so, isn't it?
Can I ask you what the landing shot looks like before you click on the video?
Let me... It's just
like, is it suggestive? Or the...
It's just a still...
Okay, grand. But this is years ago. Before,
she is wearing a mesh tank top. But like, look.
Okay. Stop slut shaming the child.
I know. Go on.
I feel like it's
a game of like who wore it better, because they keep coming out in the same outfits and the boys are writing names on the whiteboards.
And holding up who's...
Yeah.
It's all very, very strange anyway.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There's the three lads. Oh my God, this is so strange. I feel weird watching this.
Yeah, that feeling, lean into it. Like, presumably your man's mum, who's hiding behind a door where it's being filmed.
Will I put a bit of audio up on this?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, that's it. I think I know who I'm picking.
Why? They look identical.
The same thing, and they look okay. Anyway, go on.
All very strange. Anyway, right. So Jensen and Sophie are in a ship. Piper's in a ship with Lev. Fans are getting really excited by both pairings. The video in which Jensen calls Sophie his crush for the first time gets more than 6 million views and 9,600 comments. So, Jensen's success on YouTube happens pretty quickly. And Jonah learns quickly that the day rates, the $125 day rates, is not how this squad member, it's not how they make money. The kids actually basically aren't getting compensated by Piper's team at all, but they are profiting by being in Piper's inner circle.
And then launching their own YouTube. On the
exactly. Back. As squad members, their personal social media channels garnered attention, which would translate into massive revenue. Jensen eventually earns between $30,000 and $40,000.
Per video.
A month.
A month?
A month.
Holy moly.
From brand deals, sponsored posts, monetized videos. So putting her experience in production to use, Jonah becomes her son's videographer, editor, and suddenly like is charged with keeping his social accounts flush with content. So they agree that, according to Jonah, Jensen and her verbally agree to share his earnings. A California law dictates that a child actor's income is theirs alone, but Jonah claims she and Jensen decided it was fair that she be compensated for her labor. So she's producing, editing, and all that kind of stuff.
So she's agreed with her 12-year-old.
Agreed with me.
Yeah. So together they set up J&J Ramirez Productions, which is a limited company. So things are going well. Joan is pretty happy. Jensen actually has these like good friendships with some of the squad members, particularly Lev, and he's got steady work. He seems to be happy appearing in Piper's videos and building up his, you know, building up his own audience. Piper's channel with various scripted and marketing videos is like just incredibly popular, right? Piper's fans seem to like it when she used her videos to make Gavin Magnus look bad. So after their breakup, right? Gavin would later allege that Piper's team, which kept pushing the idea that he'd betrayed Piper somehow, launched an unfollow Gavin campaign that cost him more than 20,000 followers. So it became a hot topic in Kinfluencer gossip forums, also known as shade rooms, in which fans would post videos and like,
oh god,
basically just
tattle
like
for kids.
It's tattle for kids, right?
Oh my teen god, tattle.
Yeah, and fans speculating about who had upset who and who had wronged whom. So the former pair's collaborators were also split, and they were urged by the adults behind Piper's and Gavin's teams to choose sides. So soon Piper and Gavin weren't just two halves of a one-time ship. They were the leaders of rival Kidfluencer groups or squads. So you have Piper's squad and Gavin's goat fam competing all the time to make different videos poking at each other, right?
Whose squad has got a better name?
Well, it's just
goat fam.
Goat fam.
At this point, is Piper still at the top of this pyramid scheme of nonsense?
Piper is, I think, still to this day the top, you know, one of them, right? So in 2019, November, Gavin's posting a new video about his breakup with Piper. This time he's ready to go into detail. He admitted that he and Piper had agreed to form a ship to grow their profiles, but the situation turned sour. Gavin claimed that Tiffany became abusive and obsessive. Gavin called the nerdy 7 months he worked with Piper and a mom the most stressful of his life. He said that he wasn't allowed to hang out with anyone Tiffany didn't approve of, and that Tiffany had anxiety attacks during which she did extreme things, including jumping out of cars and screaming at the kids who were working with Piper.
Tiffany
is insane.
Oh my God, guys, there's an Instagram called Squad Shade Room. T is here. Updates and drama on teen squads, young influencers and more. Feel free to send in T/updates. And this is where I will disappear for many hours today.
Yeah. So
it's all these kids.
Tiffany is
Gavin Magnus and like Lev. There's Lev.
Tiffany's losing it.
Tiffany because never had it.
Okay.
Tiffany never had it is what I'm gathering, right? So Gavin goes on to say that she would yell at things. She would call them at all times of the night. She would text them and do things and call names. She said that no 12-year-old should be called by a 30-year-old woman. He also says that Tiffany offered them vapes and that he wasn't the only Kidfluencer who had to stop working with Piper because of Tiffany's behavior.
Oh my God, I'm watching Creepy Dancing.
Get off it. You'll turn yourself into a pedo.
I can't. Like, here we... Like, this is... You'll turn yourself into a pedo.
Well, what'll happen is you fucked with your whole
algorithm.
And now all you'll get served is teenagers dancing.
Squad Shade Room is a must follow from where I'm sitting. Recent TikTok posted by hashtag Piper Raquel letting everyone know she won't stop making videos with hashtag Gavin Magnus. Guys...
Epic.
What a world.
And it would be all well and good if it was sort of produced. Would it even be better if this was a network show? The fact that it's just such chaotic management.
It's all worrying. It's all desperate, right? So at the time, Tiffany and the crew, you know, they explain this away as Gavin just being bitter because he was kicked out of the squad. So that's kind of wool being pulled over their eyes or whatever. Jensen still always being part of the squad. Hours were spent filming were long, beyond what's legally permitted for working miners in California, a fact that is supported by paperwork that Jonah would later file with the courts. Jonah, who had Jensen and Liana in online school while they pursued their careers, noticed that there were no tutors available on set for squad members, and she and other squad members have since stated that they were especially concerned about Piper, who claimed to have dyslexia, didn't seem to be able to read, and it wasn't clear to squad members' parents which workplace standards applied when you're creating YouTube content.
Yes.
And who was responsible for enforcing them, like should it be Tiffany or should it be the platforms that are, you know, should it be YouTube? Jonah started to notice that Tiffany had this eagerness to control the lives of the squad members. So it was difficult for them to do anything except film without Piper. So according to Jonah, her and the other moms said that Tiffany didn't just discourage the kids from going to parties, attending auditions, or being tagged in photos that didn't involve the squad, but she would view it as like an outright betrayal. And if they were seen with other friends or anywhere else or outside of this kind of controlled group, she would get really, really pissed off and angry with them. So Tiffany.
What is happening?
Yeah, crazy. So like Angela Sherbino, who's Sawyer's mother, said that she
called her child Sawyer.
Sawyer. She wanted to start taking her son to more traditional acting roles, and Tiffany said that if
he leaves the squad,
basically that like if he goes out and does that, he's out essentially, right? But you have to remember that they're now they're making shit tons of money on this.
But like, is Tiffany, does she owe them any money though? Because they are,
because that's no,
but they've seen it. Like they've seen it with Gavin and people who've left the squad. And this is the thing, right? Hunter, remember him, Hunter Hill, creepy man,
stepdad.
He claims that he has this like insider man in YouTube that is like helping them promote the channel, and that's where their success comes from.
And
when people leave the squad, their channels don't do that well because they start like not doxing them, but like having bots quickly like and unlike things. Okay. They start reporting them. He's posted their content on porn sites, which then gets the content flagged and demonetized by YouTube. So like
Hunter
is doing this.
He's a bad egg.
But that's the level of control they have, right? So things then start to get a little bit more nefarious in the actual videos. So according to a lawsuit that was filed last year, Tiffany is giving squad members instructions about what to do in videos, including directing them to kiss, to make ships seem more real, to push their butts out, make sexy kissing faces, or wear something sluttier. And because the kids weren't always with their children during the shoots, they didn't always know what went on until later. And they were the kids were very afraid of complaining because they didn't want to be kicked out of the squad.
Oh, it's so dark.
Yeah. So Hunter Hill admits to Angela Sherbino that he tanks the kids' channels by embedding their videos on porn sites, which gets the content flagged and unlisted on YouTube. He admits it to Angela. So maybe it's a threat that he's saying that that's what he will do, but basically puts them in a sense of control and fear and, you know, whatever else. So Jonah didn't want to jeopardize Jensen's career or happiness by walking away from the squad entirely. And she didn't want to go to war with Tiffany. So she's just worried about Jensen losing important personal bonds. And, you know, she's trying to she's just trying to figure this out, right? Yeah. And then maybe she's trying to like concentrate on maybe other opportunities. So in February 2020, Tiffany announced that the squad are taking a road trip to Las Vegas. But Jensen is waiting to hear about a callback for another project at the time. So according to Jonah, Tiffany told her that she and Jensen can head back early if they got good news and they wanted to go to the callback. So off they go on the trip. But when they're there, they Tiffany announced that she wanted the boys and the girls. Oh, sorry. When they're there, things weird things start happening. Tiffany announced that she wants the boys and the girls to spend the night in adjoining rooms unsupervised. But the parents are like, this is absolutely insane. So Jonah insists that Jensen obviously is not allowed to go and sleep in with his friends, and they have to stay in a room where another mother and son pair are staying. This is a fucking, of course, like the 12, 13 years of age. Jensen then gets the call back that he's been waiting for, and Jonah is like, fuck yes, we can leave this stupid weird trip. But as soon as Tiffany finds out, Jonah then gets a call from Piper's manager, Peggy, and Peggy made it clear that if Jensen let the trip, he would be kicked out of the squad. So it ends up that Jensen then misses the call back. So he's now like building a bad reputational damage. Yeah. He's not going to...
Trapped in the squad.
So when the squad returned to LA, they went to a 5-bedroom rental home in Hollywood where Tiffany had recently moved all of the content creation operation. Everyone was exhausted. Tiffany wanted them to keep filming. At some point, according to Jonah, Tiffany cornered Jensen and another kid, Walker Bryant, in a bathroom. She berated them, calling them horny bastards for allegedly holding hands with two girls who weren't their assigned crushes, and during a car ride. So she's just given out to them in
you
a bathroom,
horny
right?
Bastards.
And freaked, but she's freaked them out. And this is one of the first
your
times
assigned ship.
Yeah, this is one of the first times that Jensen admits to his mother that
what's
Tiffany is
a
like
lunatic.
This absolute lunatic. So. Tiffany or Jonah is like, it's time to leave this fucking squad. This is traumatic. So she knew that she had to go about this in a very cautious way, that you know it would result in his
drama.
Yeah, but
Tiffany
also like
spin out
potential the loss of his all his finances or whatever.
Showing up on some creepy site.
Yeah. So Jonah calls her husband Nelson, remember him, back in Texas.
Yes.
He hasn't had much interaction with Tiffany or Hunter or any else with the squad. So even though Jonah had previously voiced concerns, she had the situation, you know, she said the situation under control. So she opened up finally to Nelson about some of the issues on set of the shoots, the types of videos that Jensen was making, the control Tiffany had over the group, and the backlash that X squad members were facing. And she said, look, I need your help and I need you to come over here and we come up with this exit process to get him out of the squad. So Nelson agrees. He says he'll go up to her and together that they will help get him, remove him from the squad. So they weren't the only parents at the time who were trying to get their kids out of the squad. Walker Bryant's parents were, and a girl named Indy Carey's parents were also trying to get them kind of away from it or whatever. So they hoped there would be some sort of strength in numbers here and that they would be able to, I don't know, approach this as a unit. Meanwhile, another former squad member was publicly making accusations against Tiffany. So a girl called Clementine Lespazier worked with the squad for 4 months before stepping away in March 2020. She made a video, of course, clarifying her reasons for leaving. She says that she felt pressured by Piper's team to do things she was uncomfortable with. They tried to put me in a love triangle, she says. I'm only 13. I didn't want to fake a relationship this early. She also alleges that Tiffany...
Sorry.
Yeah. Tiffany kept shoving confidentiality agreements in our faces, pressuring for us to sign them so
children
she could try and silence us
things.
Like everybody in the squad. She wanted to control the public story of every single squad member. And if the team felt that we didn't listen, they would punish us by not promoting us to show their power. So... yeah, this is a thing. Tiffany tries to sue Clementine's mother then for defamation. So that's a lawsuit that's going on in the background. So
I'm just watching the most insane video I've ever seen.
Of the squad.
Of the squad. It's Hunter Hill's channel. And
is it the Who's Piper's Real Dad episode?
No.
That just came under my nose. That's his most viewed.
Click away. You're going to get.
I shaved off Piper Raquel's eyebrow. Star, asterisk, asterisk, prank. So most this of the video adult man. Is this adult man creeping around
unrelated a child's to a child.
Bedroom while she apparently sleeps.
Oh my God.
Putting makeup over one of her eyebrows to make it look like it's gone. Whether she's asleep or not, whatever. But she wakes up with him running a shaver like beside her head so that she thinks he's mid-shave. And she gets up, looks in the mirror, looks to be on the verge of tears. He's laughing and filming her. Well, she's also set up three stationary cameras around the bedroom.
Oh my God.
What? It's is all this?
So
and this
fucked.
Is 5 years ago. She's a 10-year-old child in the video. Okay, sorry.
So,
sex predator right, so has prank with 10-year-old in her bedroom.
Yes.
It's hideous, isn't it? Yes. Right, there's still quite a bit to come in this, so I'm going to power through because we're already on an hour and 5 minutes, right? So, this Piper's mother, Tiffany, trying to sue Clementine's mother, Caroline, for defamation.
Okay.
In defense of the lawsuit and the defamation, Caroline's team obtain a legal letter written by Regan Finglas.
Who's he again? I knew he was going to come back.
So he's
is this
one of
the squad guy.
He was kind of a previous squad guy.
Adult, yes.
No, he was another. He was another teen who was involved in the squad. Another big creator on Musical.ly, and the letter that he had submitted to the courts details an incident that he claims occurred at Tiffany's Hollywood home in 2017. So a group of influencers and their teams, including Piper, Tiffany, and Reagan, attended an event that was sponsored by a company. When the party ended, Matt Duggan's talent agency?
Yeah.
Some of his clients went back to Tiffany's apartment to film content. According to Reagan, who was 17 at the time, Tiffany provided alcohol to everyone, including then 9-year-old Piper. The group decided to go live on an app called YouNow. And during the stream, an intoxicated Tiffany turned to Reagan, grabbed his face, and started kissing him.
What age was he?
17. Piper was standing behind them and could be seen pulling Tiffany away from Reagan before Tiffany again appeared to force herself on the teenager. Reagan alleged that Tiffany's behavior continued off camera. He claimed she grabbed him by the waist and attempted to drag him into the bedroom. He said, "I was scared Tiffany was going to rape me."
Oh my God.
He claimed that...
the drunk 9-year-old also there
yeah.
with her mother.
Okay. He reported the incident at the time to Matt Duggan, who said that he would make Tiffany held accountable. Reagan said that Duggan was my mentor at the time. I trusted him to do the right thing. Then the next day they saw that the videos for the live stream were no longer were online. So he assumed that Duggan had reported them or otherwise had them taken down. Reagan didn't go to the police. But, you know, he didn't go to the police, but was contacted later by the FBI about these allegations. This all starts to go. I don't know if this information then is getting back to the other parents of the kids who are currently in the squad, if this is public information or if it's just become public since everything else has gone on, right? There is then other allegations from Gavin Magnus there's other allegations from Gavin Magnus's legal team. Documents leaked to parents whose kids were once in the squad allege intentional infliction of emotional distress, civil harassment, violation of child labour laws, cyber stalking by Tiffany and Hunter. Mm-hmm. And they describe the relationship between Tiffany and the kids in the squad as Svengali-like.
Mm.
So they include this These legal documents include screenshots of text messages Tiffany sent to Gavin chastising him for tagging a friend outside of the group, and his content calls Gavin a shout-out slut. So the documents...
The level to which Tiffany has lost her mind here
is she never had it, right?
Very satisfying. Now, I know she was always a little deranged, but then the power.
Wild.
She's completely lost it.
The documents...
Shout-out slut is... iconic.
What did she call the kids that refused to be in a
horny
fake?
Bastards.
Horny bastards.
Who were holding hands outside of the fake relationship.
The documents, these legal documents also describe the relationship between Tiffany and the adult male fan of Piper's, the one that was known as Megan. So according to accounts provided by Gavin and his parents, Tiffany referred to this fan as the stalker and the paedophile, but sent him videos of her daughter in exchange for money, food and gifts.
Like personal videos.
Yeah. And then in another bizarre accusation, they said that Tiffany sometimes pretended to be a character called Lenny the Dead Cat. And under the guise of Lenny, she would make sexual comments to the squad members and manipulate and scare the children into silence. So
oh my God.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going to happen in the end? Like, because a lot of this shit went down before there were any laws.
Yeah.
With now, anything to do with social media.
These documents, these legal documents prepared by Gavin's team were never filed to the courts.
Why?
Instead, in 2020, Gavin and Piper start making content together again.
What?
So they Gavin come and to who? Gavin Piper. And Piper.
So did they, was this?
They obviously come to some sort of offline, settlement. Out of court agreement. Okay. So they, I don't know how they come back to this, saying that they come to this sort of agreement where he can be part of that. Maybe this is what it is, like, just come back and be part of the channel and, you know, let's brush this under the carpet because you've loads of money to make here by being part of the squad. But anyway, Jonah starts to hear about all of these accusations. She hears about Reagan's, Clementine's and Gavin's accusations against Tiffany. She's completely overwhelmed. She's like, how could you possibly allow your child to continue in this environment knowing all of this? And so Nelson's on his way to come and help pull Jensen out of the squad. So in April 26, 2020, Ramirez's, the Bryants and the Careys all have a conference call with Peggy to tell, this is Piper's manager, to tell her that the kids were leaving the squad. A few days later, Nelson travels from Texas to visit the family. Jonah was prepared for Tiffany and Hunter to put up a fight and for Jensen to be upset. So she was hopeful that together with Nelson, they would be able to weather the fallout and, you know, navigate this as proper parents.
Oh, my God.
Then... 2 weeks after the call with Peggy where they announced the thing, Nelson turns around and makes an announcement. Jensen staying in the squad.
More money.
Not leaving the squad.
So Tiffany is just shelling out here.
Well, what happened was, after talking to Jensen and to Tiffany, Nelson had a different take on the situation. From his perspective, he said that there were problems with the squad pertaining to scheduling and on-set rules, but they were just growing pains of a new business. I mean, this reeks of money. Reeks and reeks and reeks of money. So the kids wanted to be there and had to be dragged away, he said, that they enjoyed it. And he felt that Jonah and some of the other squad moms had exaggerated, misconstrued, or even made up allegations against Tiffany because they resented how much their kids needed her and Piper to be successful. He said the women were being vindictive and that he saw no reason to be concerned about Jensen's well-being. So, like, what a fucking betrayal. What a absolute rat of a man to go against his wife's wishes like that and to step into a situation and say,
everything's fine.
Everything's fine. I know more here. So, anyway, but the thing is, being in the squad is what Jensen wanted. And soon, Liana starts to support the decision too. She, in the meantime, is still trying to make it in Hollywood. And she's actually filmed some videos with the squad and with sister, her brother. This is the older sister, right?
Kind of have a career in
was getting small parts or whatever. So Jonah's completely blindsided by this. Obviously, over the years, she had grown distant from Nelson because she had, you know,
been physically distant.
Yeah. And she said it had begun to feel like their marriage was a bit of a business arrangement. But they always, she always thought that they had like a united front for their kids.
This is so sad, actually.
And now, her whole family has turned against her.
Her
family. So Nelson says Jensen's not leaving the squad. Leanna's like, I support Jensen's decision to be in the squad. And Jensen's like, I want to be in the squad.
But what
because
about
he's
all,
a child.
What about all of Jonah's proof that all this mad shit went down?
But like, so much of it isn't making it to the courts. Now, there is currently a court case going on with 11 ex-squad members. But Jonah's not part of that suit.
Because she
was on something different, right?
That's actually so grim. Tiffany seems to have won so far.
But
no.
Well, yeah.
Shit's going down.
Meanwhile, behind...
How's the squad? What's happening there?
Behind...
Sophie's way ahead.
No, I'm not, I promise.
Behind the scenes then, the squad are aware that Jonah's tried to remove Jensen. So then she's like fucking... She can't go near the squad and the squad family. So like, you're just stirring shit over here.
Exactly.
And we don't want you around.
Is Jensen... her son now 18 yet?
No, he's not. But Jensen decides that when he's going on shoots or whatever, that he would rather be
alone.
Chaperoned. He still has to be chaperoned, but he's going to be chaperoned by either Nelson or Leanna. So she became this, and this was something that Nelson supported as well. So he continued to live with Jonah, but she wasn't allowed to go on shoots with him or any of that kind of stuff. But he was spending more and more time with his friends. When he was home, he often stayed in his room. He would text his mother, but like sometimes not text her back and leave or whatever. So she just couldn't believe what had happened and what was going on here. So she kept trying to say that, look, Tiffany is going to tear our family apart, but no one was listening to her. Then that September, Sophie Fergie became one of the latest kids to leave the squad. Sophie and her mom Heather had been living with Piper, Tiffany and Hunter. When the mother and daughter moved out, Tiffany was furious and there was a fight over the ownership of some cats. So then Heather got in touch.
Collection of cats.
Right now, Sophie, remember, was like his original ship.
Ship, yes.
Yeah, so like they had a close working relationship.
That's
so
right.
So Sophie's mother Heather gets in touch.
Works.
Yeah.
Like, she could have gotten in with a ship with Lev, but then it would have been Lofi and it wouldn't have been as good.
Not as good.
So, Sophie's...
Whereas Liper works.
Sophie is excommunicated from the squad and she becomes enemy number one, right? But Heather reaches out to Jonah and she's like, look, because Jensen and Sophie had such a close working relationship, it might make sense that they be able to have a conversation away from the rest of the squad about what has happened and what's gone on. So, but Jensen's so ingrained in this squad and so under the control of Tiffany that Jonah knows that he'll never agree to it. So the two mothers try to set up this like surprise meeting between the two, so that they can have a chance to talk. But when Jensen is in the car and spots Sophie, he freaks out, calls Tiffany and Hunter, and he's like, my mom has just done this and tried to set it up. And everyone's like, your mom's rat. Like, they're really, like, really just digging the nail in and pulling it, you know, creating that divide between
Jensen and his mum.
Jensen and his mother, right? So he refuses to get out of the car at all and they don't have the conversation. The whole meeting is botched, right? The Tiffany and Nelson even are painting this as a betrayal. Whole squad members and their families are saying that Jonah can't be trusted. She's possessive, greedy, trying to ruin her son's career. So she was like initially unwelcome and ignored by the squad, but now she's like an out and out threat. So he goes on, he continues filming content with the squad, in continuing to have a relationship on camera with a girl called Eliana. He says his first kiss was actually on camera. What?
So was Piper's.
Yeah.
I just watched it a minute ago.
Whose was hers with? Which ship was she in then? Like, was she 13? This is so crazy.
It's so crazy, right? I mean, bearing in mind, like, they're only 15 now. So finally, seeing no other choice, Jonah decides to file for divorce and appeal for joint custody of Jensen in 2021.
Forgotten about the sister.
She submits, well, her sister is an adult, right? She submits a legal petition for the appointment of a conservator over Jensen's estate, making it clear that she wasn't attempting to take Jensen's money, but to protect him from this, because he's got no, he's using his money to buy expensive things. His grades drop to, his GPA drops to one, which is like whatever. And she's like, he's just not going to school. He's not taking education seriously. He's not managing his money or his finances properly. This, and also just being a parent, knowing that like this has a sell by date, the minute they age out of this, like what is going to happen with them? So
straight into pornography. I mean, like,
yeah. So, when she spoke with Nelson, she hoped to convince him, see her side of things, that she didn't want her son to fail, but she wanted him to be safe. So
it's going to look like a money grab, though.
It's going to look like a money grab, right? Now, elsewhere, obviously, this squad is becoming massive, and it is like other people are starting to notice. Pop star Pink, in August 2021, tweets, how many kids like Piper Rockwell are being exploited by their parents? At what point do the rest of us say, this isn't okay for a 13-year-old to be posing in a bikini while her mother takes the photo? So she's referring to a carousel of images on Piper's Instagram account shot in the backyard pool. Pictures show Piper wearing a blue tie-dye string bikini, running her hands through her brown hair. In some, she's pouting and she's sticking out her tongue. These images, 300,000 likes, right? So
I wonder how many saves they have.
Yeah.
It's so dark. And the mum just giddy with the income.
Yeah. So... Oh. This creates a bit of a conversation online around, you know, child talent or whatever like this. And Jonah's watching this all play out, hoping that it will finally bring some positive change. And it does to a certain extent. So after Pink tweeted that, YouTube removed the thumbnail of images of the three of Piper's videos, citing violations of its child safety policy. So one image from a video titled My Boyfriend Walked In On Me showed Piper clutching a towel against her seemingly bare body with her mouth agape and cheeks red as Lev shields his eyes. The other two photos showed Piper and her friends in bikinis, one from a Fashion Nova promotional shoot, while the other was... from a video titled wearing a hot outfit then leaving him. YouTube left the full videos up, but the thumbnails are removed. So Piper was, they were forced to kind of make comment because TMZ and whatever else had picked up on the tweet that Pink had left. And Piper defended Tiffany, saying that her mother was supportive of her career and that the bikini photos along with other controversial content had been her idea. Piper claimed that Pink's characterization of Tiffany was not true, but acknowledged it wasn't the first time she'd heard concerns about her online exposure. So Piper had just turned 14 when Pink had made the tweet. To celebrate her birthday, the squad were going off to Disneyland. Nelson nor Liana could not go with Jensen. Nelson was in ICU with COVID and Liana was preparing to take care of him once he was sent home. Jonna felt she needed to be... there, and she needed to act. So he didn't want her there, and Tiffany wouldn't allow it anyway. So she offered her son a compromise. She would pick him up at the end of the first day of shooting and stay with him at a hotel, or take him home and drive him back early the next morning. But Jensen wasn't happy with that arrangement, and when Jonah got there that evening and texted him what about a place to meet, he didn't reply. She tried to call Tiffany and another man of the squad, nothing. So at 11 p.m., a text arrived from Jensen's phone questioning whether Jonah had discussed her plan to pick him up with Nelson. And she said, your father is incapacitated in another state, she replied. And that message and other message she sent him were not delivering. So she felt like he had blocked her number. So she had no option but to file a missing persons report with the police and to return home and await news of her son. The next morning, the police notified her that they confirmed Jensen's location at a hotel. She could meet him there. So according to Jonah, the police assured her that she'd done the right thing by filing a report. But when she arrived at the hotel, Tiffany and Hunter were there and Jensen was taking selfies and cracking jokes with the cops. Jonah got the sense that she'd been painted as the problem, a stage mom unable to cope with the fact that she couldn't dictate the terms of her son's career. He makes a lot of money, you know, one of the officers said. So she didn't know really what to do. She had to let him go off and do the second filming day at Disneyland. And then she realized that there was this weird instance where she realized that her phone or her car had an AirTag device on it that was being tracked by Jensen's phone. So like they're just in weird, you know,
paranoid.
Yeah, they're obviously stalking her and then trying to keep distance away from her. So the month after the Disneyland trip, a court-appointed attorney was helping him navigate his legal options. His parents' divorce proceedings weren't likely to end anytime soon, so he started to seek emancipation from his parents and decided that he would submit a petition that Liana would become his legal guardian. Liana, who's 23 at the time, claimed that she was already Jensen's primary caregiver and Jodan was seldom home. She brought up the example of Jonah and Heather arranging that meeting between the kids as creating a situation in which Jensen was being harassed and feeling stressed, and therefore she was incapable of supporting him. And basically the courts allowed it, that Liana would become his full-time caregiver and guardian, a 23-year-old, Jesus, also in this YouTube world, making decisions for Jensen and his
future's career.
Yeah. Even though Jonah's team presented like incredible statements from other talent managers, stunt coordinators, and other people who'd worked with him saying that she was had brilliant and healthy interactions with her son, and that it was refreshing to be able to find an active mother who was not trying to make her child's career their own career, but simply there to further the child. Wow. So friends and character witnesses described the sacrifices Jonah made by moving to LA for Liana and Jensen. And she said, I think the biggest mistake she made was that she loved her children so much, she has let them take advantage of her. So then other testimonies started to come in from other parents of the squad members. Sophie's mother, Heather, described the squad as cult-like, yeah, alleging that Tiffany tries to drive a wedge into family and protect inner circles. And it's just a big, mess. Abusive mess. So where we've ended up is there is currently a legal battle that is going on, a big lawsuit filed against Tiffany and Hunter. Matthew Sarlson is the prosecutor. He says he didn't even know what to make of the case, that it's 11 squad members and their parents who are seeking this act. They had compared notes and identified what they saw as patterns of abuse. That Tiffany and Hunter's interference with the kids' contents once they left the squad caused a loss of income, and that they were instances that the parents believed raised serious concerns about the safety and well-being of any child who was in the squad, including Piper. There's the lawsuit that's currently going on says that several squad members include that during a 2020 trip to Las Vegas, Tiffany had provided them with hemp brownies that they were separated.
So she was just drugging the children then?
That she was providing them with drugs, right?
Hemp brownie, though, that's not a hash brownie.
Oh.
Hemp maybe is okay and maybe not hash, but they said on more than one occasion Tiffany engaged in the use of recreational drugs around them, encouraged them to do the same. Corrine, Piper's old friend from Georgia who had left the squad in 2019, told her mother that Tiffany once took her to the post office to mail Piper's worn training bras and panties to a fan. Corrine remembered Tiffany saying, old men like to smell this stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Tiffany.
Sophie also made a claim that Tiffany once grabbed Piper's face to kiss her on the mouth, teach her how to make out on camera. Oh, she also claimed that Tiffany once called her flat, referring to her chest, and wondered out loud whether a male member of the squad had a bunch of freckles on his dick.
Oh,
several kids described Tiffany talking about sex with them Reese, the daughter of Tiffany's sister Ashley, filmed a few videos in 2020 and 2021. He was 10 at the time, recalled her aunt asking if she'd ever had if she'd ever had sex before and telling her that she should. Numerous ex-squad members described Tiffany touching them inappropriately, slapping their butt, poking at their anuses through their clothes and rubbing their thighs. The kids have said that sometimes Tiffany assumed alter egos, including this one, Lenny, the same name Gavin Magnus had mentioned in the unfiled court documents. And according to former squad members, while acting as Lenny, Tiffany would chase kids around the home, yelling threatening phrases, including, "I'm going to touch you in your sleep." Another squad member describes being ambushed by Tiffany and tossed onto a bed, where Tiffany proceeded to rub her right arm all over Reese's face, pretending it was Lenny's penis.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
Bit of fun. So.
Prosecutors were horrified.
Obviously.
By what has gone on and finds it very, 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 very credible. So, this goes, the squad are trying to continue with business as normal, not commenting on the lawsuit or anything else like that. And they've been the subject of multiple, I suppose, investigations and like discourse online under the hashtag kids aren't content. Kids aren't content hashtag. A YouTube channel called Dad Challenge Podcasts, which is parents, I guess, talking about this kind of stuff, read out the whole lawsuit publicly, making it more and more public.
So, he also has a series called The Fall of Tiffany Raquel.
Yeah. So in July then of 2022, I think, Tiffany countersued the former squad members, invoking the Federal Racketeer Influence and Corruption Organizations Act, alleging that the kids' parents had conspired to damage her reputation and Piper's business with false allegations of sexual abuse. She claimed that YouTube when all this started to break in February 2022, YouTube responded to the lawsuit by demonetizing her channel, so she can no longer make money from YouTube based off it. And then in the countersuit, Tiffany claims that the YouTube demonetization is costing Piper between $300,000 and $500,000 in monthly advertising revenue. Yikes. And about $50,000 to $125,000 in brand deals. So this case is scheduled to go to trial in April of this year.
Looking forward to the update.
And we will keep you posted. Sorry, it's so
holy hell.
At first long. I was like, I'm never gonna remember these names. Now I'm never gonna forget these fucking people. I'm in.
Jesus.
I'm locked into the squad drams. As if I needed more.
And the parents of the squad members now are still saying that the allegations are baseless.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Jonah is still on the outside of her family, wondering what she can do and hoping that in doing conversations and talking about it in this incredible piece from the Atavist,
she'll get her family
that
back.
She will somehow get her family back, and that she still only wants what is best for her son and daughter who've betrayed her so violently.
Cassie, thank you. An epic
I'm sweating.
Retelling.
Whoa.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Head on over to our Patreon should you wish to hear about more toxic, crazy shit.
Yeah.
Love to see you.
That's what we do.
See you nice. Catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.